Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
It's really beautiful if you listen to it, right?
It reminds me of silent films back in the day.
Yeah.
the westerns, right?
Yeah.
I walk in, I order a whiskey, and there'll be somebody pounding away on the ivories.
It's Anna and Raven. That is Angela Hewitt. She is one of the world's foremost pianists, or they're called virtuosos. Well, I had no idea that that's what they were called.
I guess she's a little bit more talented than the regular guy that used to be in the old whiskey shack.
Right, I would think a little bit more.
I guess so.
I mean, she does Beethoven. She does everything. And she had probably somebody's worst nightmare when something is getting moved out of their house. Here she is talking about her beloved Fazuli piano.
It's a 10'4" piano. The biggest in the world, I think. I have that fourth pedal on my Fazuli in Italy, which is the standard 9-foot model. Mr. Fazuli put it on for me, so I use it.
If you have a piano that's called a Fazuli and then Mr. Fazuli put a fourth pedal on it for you, you know that you're legit. You've made
it,
right?
At your spot, which is hanging out in Italy.
Right.
Here. I mean, could have got her a better microphone, though. That would have been cool.
Well, the interview was in a room, but whatever, you know.
Right.
So she's got this special one. Only piano in the world that has a fourth pedal specially made for her.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and does she ever travel with this piano since she's such a world-famous pianist?
But I have traveled with my own Fazuli. Yeah, I make my recordings on it, so it goes out of my house for all my recordings. At least my piano technician has taken it. I don't drive it myself.
She doesn't drive it herself. She has movers bring it around for her, silly.
Yeah, it's got to go in a C-130, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
A Hercules aircraft. That sounds like a big piano. Where are you moving that thing?
Well, she goes back and forth to her recording studio with it.
I wouldn't trust the airlines to move my pet, let alone something like this. What happened?
The movers dropped it.
Oh, perfect.
$194,000 piano.
Oh, gosh. Is the guy who did the fourth pedal still alive even? It's disappointing.
Right. And he says that it can't be saved. It is what it is.
Oh, she called him already.
Are you kidding me? She's best friends with Mr. Fazuli. Remember, Mr. Fazuli hang out all the time.
Right.
So now.
Can't be fixed.
She had to issue a statement saying that it took her 10 days because she was so sad. She called this piano her best friend.
Good.
I just want to know, when you're those movers and you drop and you shatter that piano, how do you go tell them?
Right.
How do you tell her?
How do you go in there and say, I'm sorry, we just buried your best friend in the front foyer of your house. Oh, by the way.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Right.
We got a problem.
Right.
You all right? I dropped the piano.
Why do you make it sound like Joey the Mover?
Because that's it was exactly
in Italy.
What it is.
I thought it was in Italy.
It was.
Give it a nice
Joey
accent.
Signora Hewitt.
He tried to do it.
I dropped the piano. It's all right. Get another one.
Yeah.
Right.
Why are you crying?
Right. It's all right.
Is she just picking up the keys in her hand, the running through her fingers, like her friend that's just, I don't know, been blasted into ashes by aliens? You've lost your best friend.
It's so sad. She called that piano her best friend.
Right.
But our curiosity leads us to this. 1-800-330-9999. What did the movers destroy of yours? You can call or text. It really is relaxing and beautiful if you think about it. It's a Bach.
Okay.
World famous pianist.
Until it comes crashing down the stairs.
Oh,
sad day.
Yeah, world-famous pianist Angela Hewitt officially released a statement that when the movers were helping move her prized Fazuli piano, was only one of them in the world because it has four pedals.
Yes, it's very unique.
And she called it her best friend.
Best friend.
She said pianos can be your best friend. They dropped it and destroyed it. $194,000 prize piano.
Didn't it take like a week for the movers to actually tell her too? They were like, how are we going to do it?
No, they told her. They told her right away. The problem was she couldn't announce it to the world because she was so upset about it.
She was in mourning.
She was.
I understand. Yeah. I mean, it's something that you've played with, I guess, all over the world for all those years.
Yeah, it's
and it cost $200,000.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't think even the money is the problem. I think the problem is you become so attached to this. I mean, she would take it to record all her music.
She feels
music.
Like it's her muse,
yeah.
Right? It's her ultimate extension. Maybe after this, she just becomes a mere mortal.
Right.
She's not able to play with the best around the world. Oh, I hope your superpower returns.
1-800-330-9999. It happens. What was destroyed in the move? This is certainly a different case because, man, can you imagine being that mover having to go back up to the penthouse and be like,
so sorry.
Hey, I got some bad news.
Right. It happens. Don't worry. We've got insurance. Just sign this form here. Fill out here. Call this 800 number. Sit on hold the next 6 hours. It'll be fine.
On our text line, 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text. Someone wrote, to save money, I had my friends help me move. Always a good but bad idea.
Give them the beer at the end of the day.
They strapped my black Italian leather furniture to the roof of an SUV. Arriving at the new apartment building, they had to drive through underneath the building to the parking garage.
Oh, no.
Thinking that they could fit, they drove in, and they broke my sofa as they got stuck between the ceiling and the roof of the SUV.
How many times do we have to see the giraffe lose its head? All right? This is just sad. When I returned from Los Angeles way back in the 90s, Anazab, I had a U-Haul trailer behind my four-cylinder with a broken rear shock. It was good. It was good planning. And I scratched both sides of my black lacquer headboard of my California King water bed. I mean, that was tragic. It was absolutely upsetting.
For some reason, it makes so much sense that you had a California-sized waterbed.
I mean,
it just seems
they were
like
everywhere in Craigslist back then, man. You open it up, there was 1,000 of them you could get for $75.
Just leaves a weird taste in my mouth thinking about it, to be honest with you.
When I lived in another city, I'd broken up with somebody, right? The relationship goes bad, and you snag the items that are yours in the apartment as you walk out. And one of the items that was in dispute was a piece of artwork that was given to me by this person.
It's
coming with me, right? Grab it. I put it in the car, and it was this. I mean, to be honest, I'm no art critic, all right? But it was absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it had these things that looked like plastic spaghetti across the front of it, and one of them popped off. Despite the fact that it popped off and I could have hot glued that thing back on there and nobody would have known the difference, I never did. I just had to deal with the pain of it being damaged in there the rest of my life. But I displayed it.
Yeah,
because it was my trophy from surviving that.
My last move, the movers, they went to go move the couch into the living room. But my house is old. It's like 1938 house.
Seems standard, though, right? Sofa going into house.
Yeah, no, but they went to go put it in the living room and it didn't fit. So now I have four grown men. They're big, those guys.
Right.
And they're just standing there trying to figure out. And they decide they're just going to push hard.
Oh, good.
And all of a sudden, the molding from my doorway just pops off.
Good.
And I was like,
1910 molding that's been on there. Was laid by Thomas Jefferson. You bought this historic home in downtown.
Oh.
Let's take half of the refrigerator apart.
They're like, we're just going to push. I'm like, what? That's the solution?
That's the plan.
Santa and Raven. I have a dog. When the doorbell rings, my dog goes nuts. That's my security animal.
Here's the thing, though. When somebody's coming up on your property, Anna, that is too late. They don't typically ring the doorbell if they're coming to bring you harm. So as you know, over the last year or so, for those that don't know, I have two rescue dogs. And they've been very well behaved their whole lives, except for the last 9 months. All of a sudden, things have gone absolutely insane. And so because of that, we have hired the employ of a third-generation animal whisperer from India. He's a gentleman. His family keeps bears and pumas and an elephant and parrots. They all eat from the same trough.
Can you tell people how much you pay for this, which I think is the you made fun of me.
It's the equivalent of like a 2010 used Camry with like 70,000 miles on it.
I want to
It's definitely the amount that you could pay for a car for your teenage or college student to be driving to and from school.
Right, for a dog whisperer. Go ahead.
That's right. It's unlimited, though. He shows up whenever we call him, we have a problem. So anyways, I thought he was a snake oil salesman at first. I got to be honest with you, but I've seen amazing things with this man. We're out doing a test with our dogs the other day, and we're just conversating for a minute because we have to go in and out of the house, don't ask. And he says to me, because my wife observes that there's both a dog and a cat on the side of the vehicle. He trains police dogs, all that stuff. So he said, wow, you know, you train cats too, huh? And he goes, yeah, for home security. Wait a minute, what?
What?
Yeah.
Cats?
For home security, which, you know, obviously is shocking in itself. He says a dog, because we're like, I always thought of dogs. He says a dog is actually the third best animal, domestic animal, for home security here in America.
So dog and then cat ranks higher than dog?
Goes number three is dogs. So yeah. He says, you know, the thing about a dog, it's great. They'll tell somebody when somebody's coming or whatever. He says, but you can find the dog if you're the burglar or the person that's coming to do harm, and then you can harm the dog or bring the scent of another dog on a shirt. He's got all different theories. The other thing I learned during this conversation, he's also the good guy to call for like a heist. Right. Then he says a cat is number two.
Why a cat?
You never see cats when you enter a house. So they train them to perch in certain areas and like windows and stuff. Robbers aren't ever looking for them. So when they go for a particular item, he says, hide it in plain sight. And then the cat will basically rip the person's face off.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know, I mean, you're basically training a cat to be an assassin, which, let's all be honest, is what a cat is in its nature anyways.
That I can kind of understand. I mean, I can imagine.
Top security animal.
What is the number one security
top
animal?
Top security animal, ducks.
Who has a duck as a security
not
animal?
Not one duck, several ducks.
You got to have a fleet of ducks in your house?
Not a fleet, but several. I mean, ducks, they bond for life or whatever, so get a couple pairs, a couple like a swingers party worth of ducks out there. Keep them outside. He said they fly at you, so you can only take one out at a time. They make tons of noise. And when you come upon a duck, if you're a burglar or a perpetrator or whatever, you don't assume that the duck is actually trained to attack. Plus, its teeth, they're like sharks or reptiles' teeth. They grab it and pull the stuff in.
So now we have to get ducks to protect ourselves? Forget the Ring cameras. Just get a whole pond of ducks in your backyard.
This is the stuff I learned while sitting out front of my house trying to make sure that my dogs don't pee on the couch.
Do the ducks live inside or outside when you train them to be assassins?
I believe they live outside, yeah. But they can enter in and go out as they please. I mean, after all, at that point, they're basically your bodyguard, so you got to treat them with some respect, right?
Okay. Can you put clothes on the ducks? Last question.
Yeah.
You can? You can dress them up like little tuxedos?
I mean, you can do whatever you want if they're your ducks. But, I mean, they got to have free reign with their wings if you want to be able to allow them to get airborne.
Do they have duck outfits? Okay, I have to go to Etsy right now.
Get to Google and get to work on there. But now you know, number one for home security, it's going to be ducks, people.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You could always call 1-800-330-9999 or you could text 1-800-330-9999. We got a text, Raven. I think it's controversial.
Okay, go for it.
If you cut your pizza with a fork and knife, that's all I need to know about you.
Are we talking about like you sit down with it and it's on a plate and you're eating it with a fork and knife? Or are you talking about like you get it and there's extra cheese, so you need that knife to cut it apart when you first open it up?
I think if you use a knife, period, that's all I need to know about you. What are your thoughts on this? Because I certainly have thoughts.
Well, it just depends on the pizza. It really does depend on the pizza. If gravity is with me, if physics are my friend, then I'm never going to cut the pizza, all right? The only exceptions being is that if it's extremely flimsy, it's a thin crust, but it's not crusty, you know what I mean? It's not crispy at all. So that could happen. I might need it because it'll just flop. Mm. Even with the fold, you try and put the V fold in, and it still flops.
You're telling me you disagree.
And it's a big slice, you know, like a city slice. If that's got the flop, then you might need it. The other thing is if it's wicked, wicked hot, but you got to get it in your mouth. So you cut it, and then you're like.
What do you like? Are you blowing on your pizza?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then you could do it. But that's the only times, in my opinion.
I think you've basically just proven a point. Like, you need to suck it up, and you need to shove it in your mouth with your hands.
No.
Because that's what real Americans do.
I just can't be burnt. I can't be burnt on my palate, all right? Because then I can't taste the rest of the pizza.
So you got to wait for it to cool down. Actually, it's not true. No one actually waits for it to cool down. It's impossible. It smells so delicious. Yeah. How are you possibly going to wait?
It's impossible. By the way, a floppy pizza does not make me happy. So I'm not happy to use the knife and fork if I need to, but I will.
The only time I use a knife and fork is to feed my toddler.
Okay.
Because when she bites it, she doesn't understand, and she puts so much in her cheeks. She stores it like a squirrel.
Right. Like a chipmunk.
Yeah.
Right.
If you ever look at her, it's like her cheeks are puffed out, but
are you tempted to push them and pop it like a zit?
No, what I do is I shove my finger in her mouth.
Oh, good.
Because I know that she's harboring the food in her cheeks, and I'm afraid she's going to choke. I'm afraid she's going to choke.
Yeah.
So I use the fork so I can monitor how much she's putting in her mouth. I think that's really the only reason. There's no other reason why you should be using a knife or fork on pizza.
Why are we breaching this? What was it?
Because the text message said if you use a knife and fork, that's all I need to know.
I forgot.
About you.
I got so caught up in the fact that now I want pizza, and now I'm upset.
Right. Okay.
If you're a contractor that shows up at somebody's house and your website promises on every page that there will be a quote, detailed analysis, and estimate before any work is to begin, and then you get so angry when somebody asks you to actually do what your website says and that your arrogance makes them kick you off the property because they're simultaneously telling you that they're going to charge you $4,000, but they're not actually giving you a number. They're just saying a minimum, minimum. That's all I need to know about you. Check your website, bro. I had a rough day yesterday.
I stopped listening halfway through because you were just yelling. You were yelling about contractors on your... Okay.
Just know what your website says. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, how clean would you say you are?
In general, myself as a person and individual?
Yeah, in your home.
I'm a slob in my home a little bit. But, I mean, I take great care of myself, essentially, and then I do whatever my wife tells me. My wife is a neat freak, so she sees things in the house that I can't see. She's always telling me the house is filthy, and I never see it.
It's Hannah and Raven. A few days ago, if you missed it, we were talking about a new study came out that you should be washing your towels every 3 times you use it. Mm-hmm. That's the longest stretch you could go. Some people hang up that towel for, like, a week. It's like every weekend they wash their towels, but they say that's disgusting. 3 times, which I actually was surprised it was that many.
There's also some very strange people out there that share towels amongst family members.
I share towels with my husband and my children.
What?
Yep.
What?
We do. I've told you this a million times. I don't think it's a big deal. We're all the same family. But that's not what I find to be all that surprising.
Okay.
They released how often you're supposed to clean things in your bathroom.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a minute. Consider myself a very clean person, but I didn't even know that you had to do this kind of stuff.
Give me the highlights here, the big ones.
You have a shower curtain?
Of course. I mean, yeah.
How often do you replace it? Like, literally take it down and replace the shower liner.
I would say probably every few months. It's really long, so every time we have to replace it, it's a pain in the butt. It's like a custom shower that the other owners built, and I wish that it was just a regular one. So it's like a long one. So every time we find one, we buy 6 of them. So I would say every few months.
Every 3 months is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I would say we're right around there.
I don't think I've ever replaced my shower liner.
That's nasty.
But it's clean.
Whatever.
I like bleach it and it seems fine.
If you say so.
That's
weird. It's an $8 piece of plastic. Instead of taking the time to bleach it, why don't you just throw a new one up?
Because I don't know. It's clean and I don't see a problem with it. And
I can resell some long ones to you if you want.
How often do you actually scrub your tub?
We don't have a tub. It's like a Roman shower type thing.
You clean the floor. Scrub the floor.
I mean, probably every week.
Yeah, every week is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
This is one I thought was interesting. Your bath mat. How often do you clean and replace your bath mat?
We don't replace it all that often, but it goes in the wash and then the rugs get shook and all that stuff. So that's every week. Every time the house gets cleaned.
You're supposed to replace the bath mat. Literally replace it. Every 3 months.
Is it like a rubber one
that
they're talking
about? No, like the fuzzy one, like, you know, that's on
the floor. That's weird. Does anybody do that?
Well, I was like, I paid a good $19.99 for that.
Yeah.
Why would I? It looks fine to me. Yeah,
I don't think anybody's doing that.
No, you got to replace it every 3 months. And instead, it's actually one of the filthiest things in your bathroom that you don't realize because everybody is using it with their feet and their feet fungus.
Well, I'll make sure I don't eat off of it.
This is one that I don't think I've. Okay, how often do you clean your light switches? The light switches in your bathroom and the light switches in your home.
I would say that's more like a deep cleaning. She does clean the walls, so I'm going to say like maybe once a month or something like that, but you would imagine that's the worst.
Yep, your light switches are one of the most disgusting things in your home, and you're supposed to be cleaning them every single day.
What?
Who's got time for that?
That sounds like electrocution.
I mean, what?
It sounds like, honestly, you'd have some sort of problem with electricity in those odds.
But it makes sense if you think about it because you're always touching it, turning on and turning off the lights, going in and out of the bathroom.
Well. So just in the bathroom, clean the light switches every day.
You're supposed to clean all of them, but the one in your bathroom are definitely the grossest.
There's a lot of light switches in my house, man. This sounds like a lot of extra work. I think I'll just go on being filthy.
That's good. How'd you get that scar? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. So I was teaching Zumba last week, and sure enough, I got overzealous in my cueing. And I just caught my nail.
In your cueing.
Yeah. So you like you motion which ways to go next, what the next move is.
Okay.
And I was just so into my J-Lo Shakira mix.
Right. You were really feeling it.
I was so excited. Right. I just clawed my arm and I just started bleeding.
And wow.
You got to keep a smile on your face and you keep dancing and I just have blood dripping from
problem.
My hand.
Right. Beauty is pain, everybody. Look at the sacrifice going on up front here.
And I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, this is going to leave a mark. This is a scar.
Right.
But that's not my favorite scar. It's a toss-up between... when I was in high school catching a basket toss when I was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And the flyer came down really hard. She freaked
this
out.
This is the person that's in the air.
Right.
Not everybody has a cheerleading background, Anna. So
she was up in the air and she got scared. And instead of coming down safe, she kind of freaked out. But I can't let her hit the floor. Like, you're a cheerleader. You don't let them hit the
floor.
You're
a hero.
Right.
Here we go. Anna Zapp.
I don't know if I was a hero, but I broke the fall.
Right. Either way, you were at the bottom. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have a scar on my lip from where she like clawed me coming down.
Okay.
Still not better than when I was in college. We had gone out and it was a late night and we got home and decided we were going to do slip and slide outside the dorm rooms.
It's a good idea.
Always a good idea.
Right.
A bunch of early 20-year-olds, we set up the slip and slide going down the hill, and I'm like, of course, I'll go first, guys.
Hey, I'm the most daring. I got this. I'm Anna Zapp. Boom.
Went right down. At the time, I wasn't Anna Zapp. Went down the slip and slide first, and all of a sudden, I felt like a sharp pain in my upper thigh, and I stood up, and there was a broken Bud Light bottle sticking out of my leg.
Nice.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that's a real one.
That yeah.
Right.
And I reached down. And
your
like,
friends
oh
all cheered and were scared for you at the same time.
Well, the problem was, is I went, and I just pulled it out.
Oh, good. And gusher.
It was awful. And then all of a sudden, there was the panic where we have to find somebody sober to drive us to the emergency room.
Right, right.
So we went to go wake up one of the guys who's on the roller cross team because he had a game the next morning. So we knew he wasn't going to be drinking. And he had to bring us to the emergency room. And we ended up getting stitches. And it looks like a lightning bolt.
You have a lightning bolt scar on there now.
And I call it the lightning bolt of inspiration because that's my sorority's like kind of mascot thing, the lightning bolt.
Good, good.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank
it's a story
you.
To tell wherever you go.
I'm sure you've
got
some,
too. You know, that's how scars are, too. I have them all over my body. So there's the one on my inner calf here that is from a motorcycle muffler. Mm-hmm. So we used to all have dirt bikes. We would take them into the woods. There was like this field where we set up a track where, you know, we were just crazy. I mean, we would get chased by the police and everything. It was nuts. There was a guy from the neighborhood that had a big street bike, like a Harley. And he would take it down there because he was just insane, too. And he would let us ride it around, 11-year-olds hauling around a 500-pound bike through this field there. And I laid it over on my leg one time, man. And you have to peel your leg off the muffler.
Oh, it hurts.
First time you do one of those, you'll never forget. And it sticks with you.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. How'd you get your scar? The thing about scars, even though they're not really fun, you're always got a good story behind them, right?
Right.
Something had to happen. Like, how'd you get that scar?
It's a memory.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. This comes up because I got a new scar on my hand from being overzealous at my Zumba class and just clawing myself with my nails. I didn't know I could do that much physical damage to myself with a nail. Turns out I could.
Clean up your nails, man.
Yep.
All right, get those things cleaned up. I remember one of the first scars I got on my face, besides, different various accidents as a kid. 24 years old, burying a friend. Sad story. I'm in the bathroom, using the bathroom. I go to wash my hands and my face, and I lean over. And for some reason, their soap dispenser thing is like pointed like a jagged knife off the wall. And it cut me right in the center of my forehead. I cannot believe it. And so it was the first wrinkle I ever got in my face.
There you go.
And is the first memory ever. And it always reminds me of that day. It's crazy.
Yeah. We asked on our Facebook page, how'd you get your scar? Let's see. Deanna wrote, I was about 2 years old. My sister was making Jell-O. She had a pan of boiling water in her hand and was about to transfer it to the bowl of Jell-O mix when I tugged on her sleeve and spilled it all over my arm. The scar is from where the bandage stuck.
Oh, my gosh.
You always cringe when you read these, right?
That is scary. Jell-O, so disarming. You would think it would be fine.
No. Sally put a rake spike through my big toe.
That's a big one.
I know.
You're crucified by a rake.
Ugh, Lisa, the scar on my nose from falling down cement stairs as a baby in my walker.
Oh,
Lisa
my gosh.
Lisa is the reason why they don't have those walkers anymore. Right. The ones with the wheels on them. 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text. How'd you get your scar? It's Anna and Raven.
I was at my cousin's house on Halloween, and we were riding dirt bikes. And one of my cousins was sitting down showing me how many laps I had left before I had to give it up. And as I looked up at him, I didn't realize there was a pothole in front of me.
Oh, nice.
I, like, slammed into this pothole and flew off the dirt bike like I was Superman. It knocked the breath out of me when I hit the ground. And all I could do was watch the dirt bike do flips all the way up. Like, the little peg went through my leg.
Oh!
Here's what I've learned from you and Raven this morning.
Dirt bikes are made for crashing.
No, you should never have a dirt bike. No one.
Got to have it. It was a rite of passage.
No. Anna and Raven, how'd you get your scar?
Yeah, this goes back to the 70s. The church around the corner put a second story on, and they had this large 2x12 to slide stuff up. So I rode my bike up, and I kept going up, and I thought it would slide back down again, but it didn't. So I went off into the air, did a 360, and bam, right to the ground.
Nice.
Stars on my back.
Mm. I had a 10-speed once, all right? You know, like when you get your first 10-speed and you shouldn't be on a 10-speed yet at this point. But you figure you can reach the pedals, so I'm going to be a grown-up and have a 10-speed. We used to race our bikes down this massive hill in the neighborhood where I grew up, and I hit the speed bump in a race, flipped over, landed on my face, and slid about 20 yards.
Aww.
I spent that entire summer coated in vitamin E and aloe outside. It was absolutely gorgeous.
How'd you get that scar? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text.
I have them all over my body. So there's the one on my inner calf here that is from a motorcycle muffler. There was a guy from the neighborhood that had a big street bike, like a Harley. And he would take it down there because he was just insane, too. And he would let us ride it around, 11-year-olds, hauling around a 500-pound bike through this field there. And I laid it over on my leg one time, man. And you have to peel your leg off the muffler.
Oh, it hurts.
First time you do one of those, you'll never forget. And it sticks with you.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. How'd you get your scar?
Hi, I have a scar in the shape of my cousin's teeth.
Oh, how did that happen?
I'm guessing because he bit him.
we were two years old, and she bit me so hard that the teeth marks are still on my calf, and I am over 40 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a serious bite.
Right.
I'm telling you, those biters, you got to watch out for them. So
is this a joke, or are you still mad about it? Because Anna's been telling me.
I'm totally serious.
Yeah, no, but are you still mad? I'm like, that stuck with me forever.
No, I guess it's sort of funny. It's like one of those little party tricks I can pull out, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
My husband, he has a scar on two of them, right on his forehead, and it's because his brother hit him in the head with a metal milk crate when they were little.
Right.
And I asked him, like, do you still get mad about that? And he was like, what am I going to do? He's like, we were brothers. Like, I feel like when you're little and things like that happen when you're kids, like, you have to just accept it for what it is.
You know what? Both of you are saying that, but I'm telling you, you always keep that in the back of your mind. Mm. All right? Dog bites you, you remember that dog bit you. All right? You might be friends again after that, but you're still keeping an eye on him.
Deep, dark thoughts or a sounding board for the typically insane mom? Most people keep their diary to themselves.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Not Anna's app, Anna's diary.
Dear diary, did you know that TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods are the same company? Now, I understand why Home Goods is a standalone, but can't we all just agree that TJ Maxx and Marshalls are basically the exact same store? They should just merge names and call themselves like TJ Marshalls or Marsh Max. Here's what I do know about going to TJ Marshalls. You have to prepare for battle when you shop there. Like Dora the Explorer, I bring my handy dandy backpack in case I need tools or a map to navigate through those crowded aisles. And standing in between those aisles, it's like being in a jungle in the Amazon looking for treasure. You're most likely sweating and constantly looking over your shoulder for a predator, aka another woman that's eyeing the same blouse as you. I see one approaching me and I turn around and I say, swiper, no swiping. And you have to be ready to pounce like a cheetah if you see a designer top mixed in with the no-name brands. The other day, I found a Theory dress. It was buried under a pile of neon pink crop tops. And I cried. I cried tears of happiness. It's as though I had found the Holy Grail. Years of searching for this moment. Granted, it had a ripped sleeve, was covered in dust, and smelled like an 80-year-old woman's closet. But it was there, and it was my size. It was my size. Okay, it actually wasn't my size. It's a size smaller than I like to admit that I am, but I bought it anyway. And it was 1/3 of the full retail price. 1/3. Maybe I'll fit into it one day, right? And as I clutched my treasure, I buried my head into my shopping cart with its wobbly wheels, and I was ready to plow down anyone that got in the way of me and that cashier. But As always, despite having 12 registers, there's only 3 people working them, and I'm stuck in that line, sandwiched between 2 walls filled with dog toys, quirky mugs, Yankee candles, only the ones that have smells that no one wants, like tree wreath, pine, and sadness mixed together. Then there's those bags of banana chips and gourmet popcorn. Who buys those? When it's finally my turn, I realize I forgot a bag. Luckily, TJ Marshalls has those high-quality reusable bags easily available for 99 cents. And I choose the one with the giant dog face. And with that, sweet victory. I have survived another trip, and I've spent $79 on a dress that doesn't fit me.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every morning, a couple joins us and let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you judge who's correct. Chris and Lisa. Lisa, let's start with you.
About 2 years ago, we bought this really nice house, and we renovated. We put in like a new bathroom, and we did the kitchen, and it looks really nice. But during this time that we were renovating our house, my mom died, and my dad has been alone, and he needs help. And I feel really guilty, and I'm feeling this really strong urge to just go and, you know, move back with my dad and take care of him. And just, I don't want to be in our new home anymore. I want to be with my dad. The guy is like without my mom.
I mean, let me just ask an obvious question. Why don't you move your father into your new house?
My husband just doesn't want any part of any of this. I'm pregnant. You know, I'm going to have a baby soon, and he just wants us to live in our house with our child. I want to go back. I want to, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for the suburb life.
All right. Chris, what's your side of this?
That's the long and short of it. We've put about $50,000 worth of money into fixing this place up, and it's looking really great. Nice backyard, fresh kitchen, everything's looking good. And now, yeah, she wants to move back home suddenly to take care of her dad. You know, I mean, I get it. Her mom died not too long ago, and like readjusting to bachelor life. But he's a grown man. He's going to be fine. She's been chomping at the bit, like, since we moved to the suburbs. Like, we're too far away from everything. Everything's too quiet. Everything's too easy. And I keep feeling like her dad is just an excuse to get back out of the quiet life and to, like, generate some drama in our lives that we don't need.
What are you... Okay, my dad needs my help, okay?
I get that you're worried about your dad, but take a trip back there. Teach him how to do that stuff for like 20 days, 30 days, you know, like a week.
Well,
and he'll be fine. You know, I had to learn how to do it all when I got out of college.
All right, guys, listen. What we do here is we put things to a vote, and we can let our audience decide. If they agree with you, Chris, then you probably have a good point. She's just overreacting. She's missing, you know, her dad in the city life, and she just needs to give it a little time. Like, now that you're here, you have a home. You're becoming established. It's just going to take a little while to get used to it. And maybe the hormones aren't helping. But they may agree with you, Lisa, and say that your dad needs help. And you're not saying too much by trying to be a good daughter and moving back to the city for a little bit to get him back on his feet. And if that's the case, Chris, I guess you rent out the house for a while and go back with her. Do you guys both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah, I am. I know.
Yeah, if it'll put this to rest, then yeah.
Great. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Call or text. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Lisa and Chris have packed up and they've moved here to the suburbs. Now, here's the problem. Lisa's father is still in Manhattan and recently lost his wife, Lisa's mom. He's kind of falling apart. And Lisa says, I never felt right being here anyway. I want to move back into the city so I can be closer to him. Chris goes, we're having our first baby. We spent a lot of money on renovations. We're going to have to stay here and you're going to have to just deal with this.
I mean, if you've been in a place for 2 years and you're still unhappy, there's something to be said about that. But again, the investment is there. And it's not just an investment monetarily. It's for the future of your unborn child.
She says that her dad just needs help and she feels like a bad daughter.
But will dad need that help in 3 months?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Hi, I'm on the husband's side, although I sympathize with the wife. I think senior citizens definitely need help, and I can sympathize that her mom passed away. However, there's services for seniors, so he can have a companion or a homemaker where he is now, or if she would like him to move closer, there's senior housing and services in the area where she is. But I think the most important thing is that she needs to have a conversation. This needs to be her dad's decision.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I think there's not a side here. I think that some compassion is needed. The woman has a completely valid love point of wanting to care for her father, and that is a very close bond for her, and she's pregnant and she's feeling far away. She really does need to spend some time with him, set him on the right path, but not at the point where she needs to abandon her life with her husband.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. I think that the more dependent you make somebody, the more dependent they're going to be. So just go there and get the dad set up, no matter how long it takes, maybe a month. It shouldn't take much more. And help him get to himself together without his wife and come home.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Chris, our audience agreed with you. Lisa, people felt like you need to give it more time here. You need to be able to offer your dad the option to come live with you guys. And Chris, you have to be open to that so you can kind of figure out a compromise, because this is a no-win situation all the way around.
Yep. I mean, I get it. Like, I'd rather have him here in our big house than us and us there in some cramped apartment.
I'm going to miss the city. I don't know if I'm really ready to do all this suburban stuff.
I get it. I know it's hard, but just give it a little bit more time. And guys, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
I'm sure Dad'll be a great roommate. Having to move him over every time he falls asleep on the remote. Awesome.
You have a problem too? Send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com. All this week, it's the week you can beat Raven.
These aren't new games. These are the times that I've lost before.
Right, we have to show that it is possible to take you down. It's Anna and Raven. We thought it would be fun to play back some of our favorite times that Raven hung his head in defeat. Remember this? Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Vicky.
Hey, Vicky, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Okay, please leave the room, Raven.
Hey, good luck, Vicky.
Thank you.
Hey. Vicky, here's how it works. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite Raven back into the studio and ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Number one, Kelly Clarkson is self-quarantining in her cabin in Montana, but her pipes burst and she had to use her toddler's potty. What's the capital of Montana?
Helena.
Number two, Bethany Frankel is donating 1 million masks to healthcare professionals. What city was she a real housewife?
New York.
Number three, J.K. Rowling has opened licensing for teachers so they can post videos of themselves reading Harry Potter. What actor is Harry Potter?
Daniel Radcliffe.
And number four, Madonna is being criticized because she called coronavirus the great equalizer in a video from her bathtub. That's where she filmed it. Who was Madonna's first husband?
Sean Penn.
And number five, Kim Kardashian went on a Twitter rant last night accusing Taylor Swift of lying about the leaked phone call. What is Taylor Swift's famous favorite number and her birth date?
13. Her birthday is...
That's all I need. That's perfect, Vicky.
13, okay.
There's no way he's beating you. Where is he? I don't even see him in the hallway. Did he get stuck? Raven!
Probably eating.
No, he's definitely eating. He's probably getting popcorn.
Hi.
How'd you do?
She got all five right, and there's no way you're beating her. Number one, Kelly Clarkson is self-quarantining in her cabin in Montana, but her pipes burst, and she had to use her toddler's potty. What's the capital of Montana?
Helena.
Yes, Helena or Helena is correct. Both are actually accepted pronunciations.
Whatever. Tell yourself whatever you want to. Helena is a Greek goddess. Helena is the capital of Montana.
Number two, Bethany Frankel is donating 1 million masks to healthcare professionals. What city was she a real housewife from?
Wasn't she Atlanta?
Nope. New York City.
Oh.
Congratulations, Vicky. Boom. Just like that. Raven loses just like that. Okay, let's keep going.
I mean, you're feeling very good. Yeah. Very good about yourself.
Number three, J.K. Rowling has opened licensing for teachers so they can post videos of themselves reading Harry Potter.
Okay.
What actor is Harry Potter?
Daniel Radcliffe, of course.
That's right. Number four, Madonna's being criticized because she called coronavirus the great equalizer in a video from her bathtub.
She's so wacky.
Who was Madonna's first husband?
First husband, Sean Penn.
Yeah. Are you literally eating on the air right now? What is wrong with you?
There's no rules.
I know there's no rules, but we have to keep some kind of dignity here.
I don't even know whose muffin this is. I just took it.
Vicky, we're like the only people left in this building. I don't even know what's going on. I took somebody's muffin.
I hope they weren't counting on this for breakfast.
Yeah. Number five, Kim Kardashian went on a Twitter rant last night accusing Taylor Swift of lying about the leaked phone call.
Oh, man.
What is Taylor Swift's famous favorite number and her birthday?
Isn't her... Isn't it 13?
It is 13.
Yeah,
it is 13.
Okay. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because Bethany Frankel is from New York City, not from Atlanta. And just like that, Vicky, you have beat Raven. Congratulations.
Well, congratulations.
It took my third time, but I did it. I tied him two times.
All right.
It's Vicky, and I just beat Raven.
Coming up on Monday, it'll be your chance to challenge Raven, and hopefully you'll be the next one to take him down and win yourself this $600.
$600. I mean, that's a car payment right there.
Make sure you're ready to play Monday morning. Can't be Raven on the Anna and Raven show.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.